Time Radio Hour on Sid Valley Radio.
This is Sid Valley Radio.
This week on the Old Time Radio Hour, we'll be listening to a half-hour comedy, followed by a 30-minute crime program. So, just sit back and relax as we revisit the truly golden age of radio.
The Irene Dunn, Fred McMurray Show. Starring Irene Dunn as Susan and Fred McMurray as George. Together in the gay, new, exciting comedy adventure, Bright Star.
Have you heard what happened on the Star?
Did you hear what he said to her?
Do you know what she told him?
Yes, the whole town's talking. The Star they're talking about is the Morning Star, a newspaper. The her they're talking about is Susan. Lovely, attractive, headstrong Susan. And the him? Well, you can see him right now walking down the street over there. Yes, and believe me, if he knew what was about to happen, he wouldn't be whistling.
Hey, Jack.
Huh? Oh, you mean me?
Yeah, yeah. You a reporter, writes pieces for the paper and stuff, ain't you?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Well, let's step into this alley here, will you? I got an item for you.
News, eh? Sure, sure.
Right here's a good place.
Yeah, the sun was kind of hot out there anyway.
Yeah.
Well, friend, what's this item you've got?
Well, it's strictly personal, chum. You've been making inquiry around about concerning the guaranteed, always-flowing oil development company, huh?
True, I have.
Yeah, you've been saying like that company ain't on a level.
Well, you might say I entertain certain doubts.
Look, let's make it simple, eh, chum? You've been saying that you are going to print that stuff in the Hillsdale Morning Star.
Those are my intentions.
Yeah, well, the president of our company, Mr. Carter Gaston, he asked me to convince you otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Print nothing but praise about our company, or I am going to see that you land in the obituary column.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair warning, friend. But I think I should tell you that I used to be heavyweight champion at my college.
Oh, you was a champion?
Yeah. Don't believe me, eh?
Well, yeah, sure, champ, sure, but... Wonder just what college he went to.
Harvey. Wow. An altercation with a truck?
I'll exchange witticisms with you later, Sammy. I want to see Miss Armstrong.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Susan, I've got something to say to you.
Shh. I'm on the phone, George. Really, Mr. Gaston? No. No! Well, he just came in, Mr. Gaston, and I'll certainly talk to him. Not at all. Goodbye, and thank you for calling, Mr. Gaston.
Susan, I've got something to say to you.
George, really? Look at your suit.
Well, suits get this way when they've been bounced around in the gutter. Occupants still inside.
Oh?
Oh, she says. Try to control your vast outpouring of sympathy, Miss Armstrong. About this phony oil outfit that everybody in town is falling for...
I've just heard from Mr. Gaston, George. He told me how you assaulted that poor little salesman of his.
He what?
What made you do it, George?
Sunspots. Now listen, Susan. I'm going to write an article blasting Gaston and his crooked outfit from here to...
Just what proof have you?
Well, none. Yet. But I'll have...
George, I know character. I've talked to Mr. Gaston over the phone. And from what Alderman Connolly tells me
Alderman
about
Connolly,
him,
he's as hard to bribe as a head waiter.
I know character, George.
Will you stop saying that?
Shouting will not convince me.
All right, all right. So we won't print anything. So Gaston sells his phony oil stock to the whole town. You happy?
Do I have to remind you, George?
That you're the editor, I know. No. That you inherited the paper from your father and did very nicely before I arrived. Granted. But I have a nasty, suspicious mind. I concur. Have I left out anything? Oh, yes, yes, yes. You know character.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Actually, George, you worry me with all your suspicions. Why don't you come to dinner tonight and we'll talk things over?
Comfort. All right. But if you think you're going to bribe me with food, you're right.
Thank you.
working late tonight, Mr. Harvey? Lift your feet, huh?
Yeah. I'm just whiling away the time till 6:30, Sammy.
Whiling away. Okay, put them down. You and the boss can live things up a little tonight?
Miss Armstrong has been kind enough to invite me for a platonic dinner, yes.
Ha.
For one so young, Sammy, you have a very nasty ha.
Ha.
Miss Armstrong is interested in me only as a reporter.
That phrase can have a very sad history, Mr. Harvey.
Sweep your floor, Sammy.
You know, you could be a success, Mr. Harvey, if you wanted to be.
Your confidence touches me.
Why don't you marry Miss Armstrong and let her take you out of all this?
Thank you, Horatia Alger.
Anytime. 6:15, Mr. Harvey.
Oh, thanks. Oh, say, Sammy, you haven't got a couple of bucks for a box of chocolates, have you?
There's a romantic imagination. Chocolates. Take her an orchid. A single rose.
A single rose, huh? Sammy, have you got a buck for a single rose?
No.
Well, it's time to go.
Visitor, Mr. Harvey.
Yeah, so I see.
Good evening, boy reporters. Miss Armstrong here.
What's it to you?
What's it to you? I wish I'd said that. Gets things like that off all the time, this kid.
You should hear him when he's hot. Mm.
Stay off my side, Sammy. Miss Armstrong's not here, and she won't be back.
Well, I don't blame her. Take a message. My boss, Mr. Gaston, he's a very big man in oil. He enjoyed talking to Miss Armstrong on the phone today. He wishes her to call on him at his hotel suite tomorrow. Can you remember all that, or should I write it down?
Don't bother. Incidentally, chum, that was a pretty lucky punch you got in this afternoon.
Well, it happens all the time.
You think you could do it again?
It figures.
Mr. Harvey, the paper needs you.
Stand aside, Sammy. This won't take long. All right, you.
Poor Mr. Harvey.
Wonder what else he learned in college.
How's the dinner coming, patients? Mr. Harvey should be here in a minute.
Everything's under control, Miss Armstrong.
But I want things to be especially nice tonight, patients. Mr. Harvey and I have been having, well, one of our disagreements.
No.
But he was quite nice about coming to dinner.
Big of him. Let's see. He doesn't get paid until tomorrow. Was he nice or just weak from hunger?
Now, George always speaks very well of you, patients. And your cooking, too.
No fool, Georgie. What time is old freeloader due?
About 6:30. I thought we might have a leisurely dinner and then retire to the music room later.
Uh-huh. And then you just happened to wander over to the piano, hum a few bars or something romantic.
Mm. You think that's too corny?
George is a corny fellow. He might even bring his saxophone along.
No, I think that's in hawk. Well, you'll do your best on the dinner, won't you, Patience?
I'll pretend I'm cooking it for my favorite movie hero.
And after dinner, you'll just, leave us?
Oh, sure. You want me to burn any incense?
No, I don't think so. No, George has hay fever.
If it's for free, he's got it.
Well, I've got to finish dressing. Oh, Patience, what can I wear to make him really notice me?
How about a corsage of baked potatoes?
Oh, he is nice, isn't he?
Hungry, but nice.
And tonight might even be the night that, you know...
I know. Tonight might be the night.
I hope the piano's in tune.
A man who plays the sax would never notice.
It's so nice to have a man around the house. It's so nice to have a man around the house. Someone who is glad he found you, who will put his arms around you and his kisses.
I'm giving 2-1. Nothing happens tonight. Nothing. Good evening, Mr. Harvey.
Good evening, patients. More beautiful with each passing hour.
It's my perfume. Amour Hollandaise.
Turn me aside with a jest, patients, but the flame still burns on.
You'll find a glass of water in the kitchen if it gets too hot. Hey, something happened to you.
Nothing at all.
Oh, sure. Well, have a chair, gorgeous George. Miss Armstrong will be descending the grand staircase momentarily.
Comfortable chair. pleasant house. Can't beat the cooking either. Hope my jaw's not too sore to enjoy it.
George?
Hmm?
What patient should have told me? I had no idea you were... George, what's happened to you?
I brought it on myself.
But I only left
It's nothing, Susan, nothing. Susan, you didn't dress just for me.
Dress? Oh, this? Oh, it's just an old thing of mine.
Well, it certainly does things for you. Or vice versa, whichever the case may be.
Thank you.
And sorry now I didn't put on my other tie.
Sit down, George.
Huh? Oh, didn't realize I was standing. Tribute to your dress.
You're gallant.
You know, Susan, it always surprises me to see you when you're outside of the office. You look like a different person.
Oh, thanks very much.
I didn't exactly mean it the way it sounded. I just meant that, well, women in business, you know...
Our places in the home.
No, not that at all. In fact, I can't imagine you in a home. I mean...
Yes,
well, you... what I mean is you... Well, where's my hat? I'll go quietly.
Just don't talk so much, George. Well, look, the piano. I haven't played in ages. Do you mind?
No. Won't bother me at all. I mean, I'd love it. I'd love it.
Will you help me move this bench, George? Oh,
certainly. Yeah, that all right? You know, Susan, I was just noticing the candlelight. It does something to you.
Oh, what?
It makes you look, I don't know, changed.
Does it?
Susan, we shouldn't argue all the time. Like that thing today. I shouldn't have blown up the way I did it. It was foolish.
Oh, it's all right, George.
What do we care if some crook peddles a few shares of phony oil stock here in town? Hillsdale hasn't been taken for a long time.
I am sure, George, that the development of the new Hillsdale oil field will do a lot for our city.
Oh, sure. Hillsdale, the new Arabia.
And why not? I have every faith that Mr. Gaston and his organization, and I know character.
Character. You told me.
Now, look, here's something you didn't know, Mr. Harvey. There's an heiress stopping at the General Grant Hotel, Miss Cecily Burnett, and she's here to try and buy up the entire stock issue. Freeze Hillsdale out.
Well, it'll be the warmest winter we ever had.
Oh, George, you're the most exasperating. Cigarette.
Thank you.
We shall not discuss Mr. Gaston further.
Quite. Ah, the gall of that phony. He sent word that he was quite fascinated with you and would like you to call at the hotel tomorrow.
Oh, how interesting.
Susan, you're not going.
Well, why not?
Why not? You think I'd let you alone with that fake moose?
Well, I fail to see that you have a great amount of choice in the matter.
Oh, you do? Well, if you're going, then I'm going with you.
There seems to be more than the usual confusion in your mind, George. You are a reporter on my paper, not my guardian.
Well, right now, what you need is a guardian.
A dinner,
right? Like a mouse of jealousy rearing its tousled head.
Oh, sure. Just because I can smell a crook a mile off, it's jealousy.
Well, if you can smell a crook as well as you can scent food, well, I might be impressed.
Personalities. All right, if we're down to personalities,
Dinner is served.
What?
Dinner.
Oh. My arm, Miss Armstrong?
I can manage quite nicely, Mr. Harvey.
Somehow I doubt very much that tonight is the night.
Suppose we get back to our two stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, in the second act of our story. Let's see now. Susan is just about to go down.
Good morning, patients.
Good morning, Miss Armstrong. Your breakfast is ready.
Thank you.
I take it that last night was not exactly an evening with Valentino.
Your assumption is correct, patients.
Too bad. You got a big investment in food in George.
A romance, patience, cannot be built entirely on stuffed cabbage.
That's open to question. However... Oh, phone. Are you in, Miss Armstrong?
To Mr. Harvey, no.
Hello? Georgie.
I am not in.
She is not in, Mr. Harvey.
Wonder what he wanted.
Why didn't you talk to him and find out?
I couldn't.
Hello? He wants to know if you're still not in.
Yes.
Hello? She says yes.
He wants to know if you said yes, you're not in, or yes, you are in.
I'll take it, Patience. Hello?
Susan? I just wanted to make sure you weren't serious about calling on that phony oil promoter today.
Mr. Harvey, as editor of the Star, I cannot see how my appointments are a source of concern to you.
But Susan, I...
However, your movements as a reporter are in my field, therefore...
But Susan...
Therefore, you will cover the PTA convention at 10, the dog show at 11, the Rotarian luncheon at 12, hog breeders exhibit at 1, the chrysanthemum grower show at 2, and be in my office from 3 to 5 to write your stories. Any questions?
Yes. Are you mad at me?
Yes.
Poor Georgie.
Well, morose is a word for Mr. Harvey.
I'm a strong man, Sammy. I wish to brood in silence.
Miss Armstrong has gone to call on the oil promoter. Pretty racy fellows, oil promoters.
Go fill an inkwell.
Why don't you strike back, Mr. Harvey?
How?
In the movies, Mr. Harvey, you would burst in on Miss Armstrong and Mr. Gaston in some suitable disguise. Like, say, a plumber.
Well, that's a silly idea if I ever heard one. Plumber, huh?
Borrow a wrench and a plunger. Your suit is just right for it.
Sammy, I may do it. I may just do it.
The spirit of the pioneers.
And if this Gaston steps one inch out of line... Sammy, where can I get a nice, big, fat wrench?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Carter Gaston, I'm Susan Armstrong from the Hillsdale Morning Star.
Oh, come in, Miss Armstrong. Very considerate of you to come.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Gaston.
Here now, just take this chair, Miss Armstrong, where I can look at you. Like to look a person right smack in the eye, ma'am. Can tell what sort they are in a minute.
Well, I always think so, too.
Nothing shifty-eyed about you, ma'am. If you'll excuse the liberty.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gaston.
And you and I, Miss Armstrong, we can do a lot for this city of yours. Civic betterment.
The greatest good for the greatest number.
Exactly. Did you know, ma'am, that a young lady of great wealth is right here in this same hotel trying to buy up my entire issue of stock before the public gets a chance at it?
Well, you're not going to sell.
Well, I haven't met the lady yet. Miss Burnett, of the Eastern Steamship Burnetts, I believe. But I would much rather give the honest folks of Hillsdale a chance to cash in on the rich natural resources of our little community.
Well, I think that's a fine sentiment, Mr. Gaston.
Why, thank you, Miss Susan. And if you'll permit me to say so, I...
Plumber!
Why, George!
I hear you got a leaky pipe, Mr. Gaston.
Before you come busting in here, son, knock.
No, I'm sorry, but don't let me interrupt anything. I'll just go quietly on with my work.
You were saying, Mr. Gaston...
Well, yes. If you'll permit me to say so, Miss Susan, the good opinion of a fine woman like yourself means more to me than any...
What?
The good opinion of a fine woman like you means more to me...
I can't hear you!
I said the good... Well...
I found the trouble.
Good. Then you're leaving.
No. I have to rip out a section of the wall here.
Miss Susan, may we continue this conversation over dinner?
Where are you eating?
Will you call me, Mr. Gaston?
Oh, my pleasure, ma'am. Goodbye now. Until tonight.
I'm sorry. I'll be back. I forgot my pickaxe.
George Harvey, if all the low, underhanded, sneaky...
Treacherous?
Yes.
Susan, if you can't see through this whole swindle by yourself...
You will allow me to make my own judgments, Mr. Harvey. I know character.
I know, Susan. Susan, this oil scheme is a fake. What's more, I think this so-called heiress here in the hotel, this Cecily Burnett, is a fake, too. And I'm going to interview her and prove it.
Oh, you are. Oh, you just love that.
Purely business, Susan.
Oh, you're so right, Mr. Harvey. And I'm going to be around to see that it stays purely business.
Well, Miss Burnett?
Yes?
I represent the Hillsdale Morning Star, Miss Burnett, and...
But how clever of you. I'll take one.
No. You see, Miss Burnett, I'm a reporter.
Well, of course you are. Come in, sit down, report.
Thank you.
No, right here, by me.
Oh.
Now,
Well, just a few questions about your business in Hillsdale, Miss Burnett. You see...
Oh, you want to interview me? You sweet thing, you.
Thank you. You see, there's an oil promotion scheme underway here in town, Miss Burnett, and I...
Brown eyes.
Hmm? Oh. Well, you see, I have reason to believe this Gaston isn't what he presumes to be, and...
6'2"?
No, no. 6'3"?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really considering putting money into this thing, Miss Burnett, well, I just don't think it would be very wise.
Excuse, please. 3 o'clock snack.
Susan!
Courtesy of the General Grant Hotel.
Put it on the end table. Now then, as I was saying, how do you know I like wavy hair?
You want it over here?
Yes, and please hurry. Now then, golden boy, your name is,
George. George Hunter.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am.
Will you please get out of here? I'm sorry, George. I didn't catch your last name.
It's...
Dope. What did you say?
Oh, I said I hope everything's all right.
Well, it's not all right. Now, you please get out of here and get out fast.
Oh, certainly, ma'am.
Now, where were we, golden boy?
Golden boy. Oh, brother.
I'm sorry, George. Now I know what you want. You want to save me millions of dollars, and you want to tell me all about it tonight over dinner. Right?
Roughly, yes.
Oh, you do sweep a girl off her feet, Georgie. What time is dinner?
Oh, 9-ish?
You speak the language.
All right, get around.
But not around me, you reporter.
Until tonight, Cecily.
Oh, until tonight. Au revoir, Georgie.
Au revoir, Cecily.
Oh, these Frenchmen. Irresistible.
Well, Charles Boyer.
Coming in there as a waitress.
Oh, really?
Susan, of all the
George,
low conniving.
An heiress. If she's an heiress, I'm Pocahontas.
If you were any judge of character, Pokey, you'd know that this girl is in danger of being the innocent victim of that swindler you were so eager to make a dinner date with.
I was eager. Well, I didn't notice any long pauses in the conversation while you were making a date with her.
We will not discuss conversations overheard through keyholes.
Banging into a room as a plumber. I suppose that's recommended by Emily Post.
Now, you listen, Susan.
Now, you listen to me, George. After all, where you go tonight is not of the slightest concern to me.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Au revoir, Mr. Harvey.
Au revoir, Miss Armstrong.
Good evening, Monsieur Harvey and Madam.
Oh, bonjour, Charles. Table for two, huh?
If you will follow me, please.
Oh, what a delightful little bistro, Georgie. Sort of a subway with music.
It is a little crowded, Cecily.
Yes.
Monsieur Harvey, your table.
Susan.
George. Oh, well, how nice that we should have adjoining tables.
Adjoining? They're practically overlapping.
Oh, Mr. Gaston, you remember Mr. Harvey, the plumber.
Pleasure to see you again, sir.
And Miss Burnett, Miss Armstrong, a waitress.
How do you do? How do you do?
And Mr. Gaston, Miss Burnett.
Real pleasure, Miss Burnett, ma'am. Why did you have to come here?
Quite pleasure, Mr. Gaston. And entirely unexpected, I'm sure.
Huh? Shall we sit down, Cecily?
Yes, of course. Just bring me a shoehorn, Georgie, and I think I can make it.
There. No trouble at all, was it?
Oh, well, pardon me, George. My salad. I know you don't like garlic, so if you'll just wring out your sleeve.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Mr. Harvey, sir, as long as you've got your elbow in my butter, would you mind just running your arm over my corn on the cob?
I certainly would.
Ignore them, Georgie. I'm sure they had a lot to talk about before we came.
Well,
yes, we did have a lot to talk about, didn't we, Carter?
Carter?
I'm sure George wants to tell Cecily all about the plumbing business, and you were explaining oil to me.
Yeah, I bet he was.
Oh, we don't have to talk, Miss Susan, when I can feel your little hand in mine under the table.
Mr. Gaston, my hand
isn't
under the...
That's my hand, you cheap, double-crossing chiseler!
Oh, Cecily, you...
Out on a business engagement tonight, you told me. Why, you...
Sit down, dear. You're an heiress.
Yes, and I'm just about to become a widow, too. Let me at him, George. George, let her at him.
Now, take it easy, Cecily. Hey, you got trouble, Mr. Gaston?
Glad you come in, Rocky. We're blowing town. My wife, the heiress, just opened her big, rich mouth. Come on, Mrs. Vanderbilt.
You should let them get away, George.
No, I'll stop them, Susan.
Stay here, Rocky. If the demon reporter here gets noisy, keep him quiet. Come on, Cecily.
Well, I can handle him, boss. Hey, sit down there, fire eater.
Sit down, nothing. This time, you muscle-bound clown, I'm going to... Susan, look out!
You take your hands off my George, you...
Oh! Hey! The little lady hit me!
And so did I.
Oh, George! You
You were so masterful.
Oh, you can't fool around forever with George Harvey, Susan.
Oh,
of course, you helped a little.
George, you did it.
Well, have it your way, Susan. We won't argue.
Mr. Harvey, what has happened?
Well, only two for dinner, Charles. The other couple won't be staying.
Our stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, will be back in a moment.
George.
Yes, Susan.
Finished your story?
Just about. I had a call from police headquarters that they couldn't hold Gasson and his wife. They actually hadn't sold any stock yet.
George, you don't actually think I was taken in by him, do you? Do you?
Susan, you don't actually think that I was taken in even for a minute by his wife, the phony heiress, do you?
Well, I don't if you don't, George. If you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean. After all, Susan, we both know
no character.
Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star. This is Harry Von Zell inviting you to join us then.
This is the Old Time Radio Hour on Sid Valley Radio.
Crime does not pay.
What do you think, Faithful?
Think? About what?
About me going to Chicago and leaving Jimmy here.
Yeah, he's old enough to take care of himself.
Is he? Tonight don't look like it for my money.
So what? It ain't no skin off in your nose.
Me and Jimmy grew up together. What I done, he done. We've been through a lot together.
Well, you ain't married to the dumb jerk.
Look, when two guys have been friends...
Look, Rick, you go to Chicago, you get big. Real big. Things being the way they are out there. So you come back. So you do big things for Jimmy here, if that's what you want.
Yeah, and while I'm away...
So he'll have to protect himself.
That's it. Protection. I can fix that for him. And any mug that moves in on Jimmy Bassett is gonna be in for a rough time.
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear Thick as Thieves, starring Everett Sloan. Now, Crime Does Not Pay, starring Everett Sloan as Ricky Carpenter in Thick as Thieves. It began, of course, in a slum. Ricky Carpenter and Jimmy Bassett were born there, grew up there. On the way between birth and manhood, Ricky learned many things, Jimmy just a few. By the time young manhood arrived, Rick was Jimmy's hero, his pal, his habit. To Rick, Jimmy was a habit, period. But neither of them thought about it that way. They thought of themselves as friends, inseparable, completely necessary to each other, no matter what the job was that had to be done. Then, for jobs needing three operators, Faithful Hill made it a trio.
You sure you know this mark, Jimmy?
Like a brother, Rick. Almost like I know you.
He's doing you a minute, ain't he?
Yeah.
Rick?
Yeah?
Can I use a gun tonight? Just once, can I?
Not tonight.
I won't miss him. Nobody could miss him. Not at this range.
No, you finger him. That's your job. Faithful will drive. I'll use the piece, period.
Okay. I only asked.
You said 1 a.m. Okay, it's that now.
Yeah, how much longer? My legs got a cramp holding down a clutch.
Not much longer.
Here he is, Rick. Just turn a corner.
Fancy pants, ain't he? Almost ashamed to put a hole in that zoot suit.
What are you waiting for, Rick?
Christmas. I want to give your friend a present.
This ain't no time for jokes.
Shut up, Jimmy. That ties it. Let's ride, Faithful.
You said it.
Take it easy, Faithful, and watch the traffic lights. We don't want no tickets now.
Right. Well, we're sure not shooting, Ricky. Pretty.
Yeah, like we learned at PS9, Jimmy. Wait till you see the whites of their eyes. Or was that Bunker Hill?
I don't remember. Was it? Yeah, it was. What now, Rick?
You take the 4th Street trolley home.
What are you going to do?
Oh, my chauffeur is going to drive me to the 10th Street line, and I'll meet you at the room.
Can I go with you, Rick?
Now, look, kid, get smart. How many times have I got to tell you? When we do a job, we don't let nobody see us together. And if the flat fee check the landlady, she can say she heard us come in separate.
Oh. Sorry, Rick. 4th Street coming up.
You got car fare, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, sure. And enough for a couple of beers.
Let me see.
Hey, that's my beer money.
You keep the car fare, that's all.
Gee whiz, Rick. Just a glass of beer.
No, you know what beer does to your tongue. It grows a mile. Okay, Jimmy, on your way.
Okay, Ricky. You're right, like always. See you at the room. I'll see you, Faithful.
Right, see you.
Go, Rick.
Go.
You can take the right trolley.
Only one on 4th Street. Lets him off a block from the room. You think everything.
I gotta, or he'll get good and lost.
What about Chicago?
We're going. You and me.
And him?
Nah, we talked. He's scared of a new city.
And here he ain't scared?
He says not. Anyway, he knows how the streets run.
Ain't that something?
What do you think, Faithful?
Think? About what?
About me going to Chicago and leaving Jimmy here.
Yeah, he's old enough to take care of himself.
Is he? Tonight don't look like it for my money.
So what? It ain't no skin off your nose.
Me and Jimmy grew up together. What I done, he done. We've been through a lot together.
Well, you ain't married to the dumb jerk.
Look, when two guys been friends...
Nah, I don't know. Look, Rick. You go to Chicago, you get big. Real big. Things being the way they are out there. So you come back. So you do big things for Jimmy here, if that's what you want.
Yeah, and while I'm away...
So he'll have to protect himself.
That's it. Protection. I can fix that for him. And any mug that moves in on Jimmy Bassett is gonna be in for a rough time.
Rick Carpenter's here.
Let him in.
All right, Carpenter. In here.
Real formal, ain't you, Masters?
Could be. What's on your mind, Carpenter?
Jimmy Bassett.
Trouble?
So long as I'm out of trouble, so is Jimmy. Till now.
What's the matter, you two lovebirds scrapping? Want me to have Hank here do a job on him?
Save the jokes. What I want is just the opposite. I'm pulling out, heading west.
You and Horace Greeley. Can't say I'm sorry.
I didn't think you would be. Dividing territory is okay, but someday one guy wants it all. That's trouble. I figure Chicago's ripe for picking. You can have this burg.
Thanks. What about Bassett?
He ain't going with me.
Well, that's news.
Yeah, I figured it would be. Also, it's getting known around. And there's characters around that would figure they'd be hitting me if they took care of Jimmy.
Ain't that the truth?
So what?
So plenty. Jimmy ain't so good at thinking things out. But an easy territory he can handle.
Go on.
I want you to give him territory. Where the pickings are pretty good, but where he won't have no trouble. With the law or otherwise.
What am I, a wet nurse?
No, not exactly. But you're gonna protect Jimmy on account of I'm letting you have my share of this town from here on. You got a deal?
Did you think we didn't?
No. But make a note, Masters. Anybody touches Jimmy Bassett pays off to me.
You want to see me, Mr. Masters?
Yeah, sit down.
Thanks.
You know Hank Carter, don't you?
Sure. Hi, Hank.
Good enough.
What do you want me for, Mr. Masters? And I've been doing good?
Okay. Not so good as Rick in Chicago, but okay.
Yeah. He's doing terrific, huh?
You hear the latest, Jimmy?
Now what?
The two big shots out there. They got to doing some shooting.
Nothing happened to Rick?
Nothing, except he's ruling the roost. He's cock of the walk out there.
Oh. I always knew Rick would be big boss someday.
Yeah. That's why we sent for you.
I don't want to go out there. I like it here.
Sure, sure, and you've been doing fine here. So good, we want to give you a new territory.
Thanks, Mr. Masters. I sure appreciate that.
We figure you're the man to handle the waterfront.
You moving in on Pineapple Johnson's district?
Either that or he moves on us.
Fellow me figure you're the man to do it.
You really think so?
Of course we do. After all, everybody knows you're Rick's best friend. And him being so big now, nobody's nuts enough to get wise with you.
I get it. You mean Rick ain't even here, but he's looking after me anyways, huh?
Right the first time. You want the territory?
I always wanted a job like this. Boy, oh boy. Will Rick be part of me now?
Hi, fella.
Hi.
Jimmy Bassett, ain't you?
Right the first time, pal. Who are you?
Name's Johnson. Pineapple Johnson.
Hey, I'm glad I ran into you. I've been looking for you.
That's so?
Yeah. Look, I just want to tell you, Phil Masters sent me down here. I should take over.
Huh?
You can still operate, but you got to pay off.
Look, You nuts or something?
Me? No. Why?
You know who you're talking to?
You said you was Pineapple Johnson, didn't you?
Look, are you smarter than you look or as dumb as you sound?
Who's dumb? I told you, that's all.
I didn't hear you with my own ears. I wouldn't believe it. Don't you know what happens to little boys like you? They talk to me like this?
Nothing happens. Leastways, nothing happens to me.
Oh, got a bulletproof vest or something?
Don't like them. Not comfortable. Anyways, I don't need one. I got a friend.
I know. In Chicago. I got a friend, too. Right here. See?
Yes, nice looking piece. 38?
45. Makes a nice hole. Nice big hole.
I'd like to see it sometime.
A time like the present, I always say. You ever see a hole like that, Jimmy boy? In anybody's belly?
Ricky! Oh, Ricky!
Oh, nuts. They even put dogs out of their misery. And that's that. Too bad, Jimmy boy. Your pal was too far away to help you that time.
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with Thick as Thieves. Now we continue with Crime Does Not Pay, starring Everett Sloan as Rick Carpenter in Thick as Thieves. Word travels quickly on the grapevine of the underworld. Before the Chicago newspapers carried their brief stories on inside pages of a gang killing on the waterfront of another city, Rick Carpenter knew that Jimmy Bassett was dead. He came back to his native city with just Faithful Hill for company, in style. Rick came back in time to join Phil Masters as one of the chief mourners at Jimmy's funeral.
Some funeral, eh, Rick?
Yeah, nice flowers.
Notice the casket? Solid's bronze, silver handles.
I noticed.
5 G's I laid out.
So was Jimmy laid out. This our car?
Yep. You and me and the driver.
You and me and Faithful and the driver.
Do you mind if Hank rides in the first car, too?
Why not? Okay, Faithful.
Right, boss.
Hank, no. Not with the driver. On a jump seat like Faithful.
You said it, Phil.
Well, Phil...
Well, what?
You done anything about Pineapple and his mob?
Haven't had the manpower yet.
You don't need manpower when you use choppers.
We ain't up to those modern Chicago methods around here.
Not yet.
Look, I'll handle this, Rick.
Like you handled Jimmy?
I figured nobody touched
you
him.
You figured.
Kind of if he was your pal.
So you let my pal go down to the waterfront alone without even a piece on him?
How should I know he'd be dumb enough to...
Shut up! It's like murder.
Look, Rick, the mark is dead. Nothing you can do about that.
He wouldn't be dead if you protected him, like I said. I told you what to do.
You're out of your territory, Rick. You tell him in Chicago, I tell him here.
Maybe you told Pineapple, too.
I told him nothing. But when I'm ready, Pineapple will be told plenty.
You think he'll be able to hear you by that time, Phil? You think he'll be able to hear you?
Say, Lieutenant.
Yeah, Leo?
We got company.
Not the first time.
You won't believe this till you see him. Rick Carpenter.
What? That hoodlum hasn't been in this station house since he was picked up for swiping apples when he was a kid.
Yeah, well, you should see him now. Diamond on his little finger, silk shirt with French cuffs, no less.
This I gotta see. Call him in.
All right, Carpenter. Lieutenant Cantrell will see you.
Well, so it's Lieutenant Cantrell now, huh?
So it is. What's on your mind, Carpenter?
Well, you might ask a man to sit down when he brings information.
You, a stoolie? Spill it, Rick.
You want the character who got Jimmy Bassett?
Pineapple Johnson?
Oh, you know.
We know more than you give us credit for. You got any evidence? The slugs from Pineapple's gun, for instance.
I know Phil Masters sent Jimmy into that territory.
You call that evidence?
In other words, you ain't interested.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Rick. We're interested, but we can wait. After all, when you mugs shoot each other, why should we waste the taxpayers' time settling your quarrels for you?
Okay, I get it. You ain't interested. See you, Cantrell.
Sure. If you're looking for Johnson, he hangs out with his mob at the High Hat Club.
Oh, is that so, Lieutenant? You do know a few things, don't you? Thanks.
Of all the gall. Of all the colossal gall.
Check your hat, sir?
No, thanks. I don't believe in buying back what I paid for once. I want a good table.
You have a reservation?
No. So what?
I'll do my best for you, sir. This way, please.
Right behind you.
This be all right, sir?
It's too far back. There's a fin in it for you if you let me have that table next to the dance floor.
Was that for six people?
A fin, I said.
Very well, sir. This way.
Set us up around here, will you?
Here you are, sir.
Fine. And for you?
Thank you, sir.
Oh, waiter. Over there. That party at 10 just across the floor. Is that Mr. Johnson's party?
Yes, sir. That's his usual table.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Well, don't stand there and stare. Scram, will you?
Yes, sir. Of course.
Hey, Johnson! You there, Piney Johnson.
Hey, you coming? Watch it, boys, it's Carpenter.
You bet it's Carpenter. I thought you'd like to know where you got it from. You and your boys.
Police.
Shut up. Get out of my way. You want my Johnson gun? Get out of my way.
Want it, Phil?
You seen the paper, Hank?
Yeah. Wanted if you did.
Lone gunman kills five in flare-up of gang war. Well, looks like we take over the waterfront with no trouble. No trouble at all.
Rick?
Who else? Rick and Jimmy. They sure were thick as thieves.
I've been meaning to ask you, Phil. Did you send Jimmy down there on purpose?
Not exactly. But Rick was getting kind of big. Not much sense in having another boss's pal working for you, is there?
Smart. Smart, Phil.
Ah, well, Pineapple's out of the way. Rick's satisfied. We can forget the whole deal. Any mail?
Nothing. Oh, yeah, this. This was at the door, that's all.
It's like a Christmas card.
In October?
Post office always tells you to mail early, don't they? Let's see. Well, what do you know about this? Christmas greetings. Thought you'd like to have this now because it's the last Christmas card you'll ever get.
Who signed it?
Who do you suppose?
Rick?
Rick.
Remember the last job we did in this town, Faithful?
The one Jimmy fingered first?
Yeah, that's the one. The night I took his beer money away. Oh, the dope. The crazy dope.
Yeah, I remember. You made him take the 4th Street car so he wouldn't get lost.
I should have made him come to Chicago with us.
Now, quit blaming yourself, boss. One way or another, he's bound to get it. His kind always do.
I could have protected him. I shouldn't have trusted that bum Masters.
Now, cut it out. Boss, you can't bring Jimmy back.
No, but I can sure give him company.
I see why you don't hire this job out.
Not this one.
Even with the chopper, broad daylight, it's dangerous.
Not for me, it ain't. And I want to see them die. That's all. I want to see them die.
Well, you ain't got long to wait. Looks like Masters' car coming this way. There, up the street.
Like he owned the town, right down the middle of the street.
Suppose he got your car?
Sure he did. Think the government don't do its job?
Yeah, I suppose. When do I roll, boy? As soon as you let him have it?
No, not till I tell you. I want to be sure I didn't miss. Hold everything now.
What are you waiting for, Rick?
You know me. Whites of their eyes, like I told Jimmy. Like a sitting duck. Just like a sitting duck. So this town never heard a chopper before. Well, it's a first time for everything. Hold that clutch, Faithful. Run!
Howl, faithful!
How's that for shooting, faithful? If I didn't get him cold with the slugs, nobody will live through that crack up.
Yeah, Nate, get them both ways. Where to, boys?
The florist, where I ordered that wreath. And then the cemetery. We're gonna visit with Jimmy before we leave town.
That's a beautiful mess, Lieutenant.
Oh, Leo. Yes, very beautiful. So were Phil Masters, Hank Carter, and their driver.
Accident?
Not quite, Leo. Phil's head was shot half off. Hank got it in the chest. Driver died in the crack-up.
Any witnesses?
The usual. But all the neighbors agreed it was a machine gun.
First time around here. Well, nobody will miss them pigeons. Anything to work on or the usual?
Christmas card in Masters' pocket.
Christmas card for the
love.
I see. Carpenter.
Thought you were detailed to tail him.
I was. Came over here as soon as we got the flash on the radio.
How come?
I lost Carpenter.
When? Where?
I tailed him into a florist shop. He came out, got in the car. Hill was driving. We tried to follow. The cab cut in front, and we lost him.
Florist shop? What's he got he needs flowers for?
A dame, I suppose.
Was he carrying anything when he came out? A box, maybe?
No, not a thing.
Then he ordered something, probably something too big to carry, or something that had to be made up for him.
Too big? Like a wreath, maybe?
Wreath. That's it. Let's go, Leo.
Where to?
Out in the country a ways. Get on the radio. We're going to need reinforcements.
All right, faithful. Wait here.
Why don't we just drive in?
Only funerals are allowed to drive in. Visitors walk.
Can I come, too?
I want to do this alone. Wreaths come heavy. I won't be long.
Don't be, will you, Rick? These places give me the willies.
Pardon me, sir.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Do you know your way in here, sir?
Yeah.
May I ask what grave you're visiting?
Any of your business?
It's customary to ask for permission at the officer.
I don't need permission. It's the Bassett grave, if you gotta know.
Oh, I see. Very well, sir.
What do you see?
Just an expression, sir. It's just over there.
I said I knew, didn't I? Now beat it. Leave me alone.
Yes, sir, of course. Sorry if I intrude.
I brought some flowers, Jimmy, and... Well, I thought I ought to tell you before I go back to Chicago. They all got it, Jimmy. Every one of them. So you got company. I gave it to them myself, just to be sure. Johnson and his mob, Phil, Hank... Every
you
one of them.
That caretaker, you heard him say it himself.
Oh, yes, Lieutenant, I heard him.
Why, you lousy cop. Not even in the cemetery.
Hey, got your call. Jimmy didn't hear you, but we did.
Hey, Faithful, start the engine. I'm coming
Faithful's
out.
Faithful's been taken care of, Carpenter. You went for the wreath, so we outguessed you and got here first. And our friend, the caretaker, made sure you went to the right place.
Yeah, the right place for you and your whole stinking outfit.
Bob, watch it.
Let him have it. No place to hide out here, Carpenter.
Who wants to hide?
Hey, you okay, Lieutenant?
Nice shooting. That ground is awful hard when you hit it as fast as we did.
Is he dead?
Nobody lives with that much lead in him. All right, Leo. We'll drop him at the morgue. Too bad, isn't it, we can't leave him right here.
Crime does not pay. Everett Sloan, who was starred as Rick Carpenter in Thick as Thieves, will be back with you in just a moment. Now, here in person is Everett Sloan.
There have been many classic friendships in the history of our civilization, and many of them have meant much to the progress of mankind in many fields. The friendship of Ricky Carpenter and Jimmy Bassett might have developed that way, for good rather than evil, if when they were boys they had been given proper direction, training, opportunity. But society failed in that respect. And while both young men lost their lives, society was the loser too, losing by two minds which might have done better things. It follows then that not only for the criminal in cases like this, but also for the rest of us, crime does not pay.
Thank you, Everett Sloan. Crime Does Not Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Marks B. Loeb, with music composed and conducted by John Gart. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkus. The events, characters, and names used in the story you've just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental.
The Old Time Radio Hour will be back next Sunday at 4 o'clock. We hope you can join us here on Sid Valley Radio.
Skokie, 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 and okie dokie, anybody can. Oh, for we're in Africa. Happy, happy Africa. This ain't a bingo, bingo, bingo. They have a ball and really go. Skokie, yeah. Take a trip to Africa, any ship to Africa. Come on along and learn the name. Beside a jungle bungalow, the hot drums are drumming, hot strings are strumming, and warm lips are blissful, they kiss full of Skokie. The whole, if you go to Africa, happy, happy Africa, you ling along like a king. Right in the jungle on the low. Skokie, 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 and okie dokie, anybody can. Skokie, skokie, man a man a man. You sing a bingo, 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 and hokey pokey, skokie, and